Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the cloudy and fun capital of the world today, I'll tell you that. But it's great to be here in Myrtle Beach, great weather. And this is Dr. John Stamey, and I want to welcome everybody to Pro Wrestling Interviews, and especially because tonight is Halloween Eve. Believe it or not, Halloween starts in about 4.5 hours East Coast time, so we're getting ready to have Halloween get started. And in my opinion, I think everybody that can should dress up like Ric Flair. That would be the greatest, the world's greatest Halloween. But that's just me, and so anyway, don't laugh. I'm just a Ric Flair fan. So anyway, tonight, from our northernmost outpost, Indianapolis, Indiana, Todd Stoutman. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
Outstanding, the supernatural, and ecstatic to be here. Kind of excited we're going to be switching things up a wee bit, and that's cool because it keeps us on our toes, and hopefully it'll give you a new angle for the listeners. I'm digging it.
Well, that's great. We're glad to have you here. We're 4.5 hours away from Halloween here on the East Coast. And Tony Robinson from Richmond, Virginia. How you doing tonight, Tony?
I am doing great. You know, I am very excited for Halloween. You know, it's that type of time where everyone dresses up in their favorite characters and stuff. And, of course, eating a whole bunch of candy. But, you know, I am excited to be here. And, yeah, today's going to be a great show.
Okay, great. Now, I've got a survey question for everybody. What's your favorite candy to get on Halloween, Todd? What's your favorite?
Man, you know what? I'm kind of a simple guy. I do like those ye old-fashioned malted milk balls.
Okay, God, they're really good. All right, Tony, what's your favorite candy on Halloween?
Oh, man, like, for me, I'm a big chocolate guy, so I kind of want to, like, go with, like, Kit Kats and Snickers and all that good stuff.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. I'm going to be the weird one because I love Heath bars. You know, that's got caramel and stuff in the middle.
Yeah, the English toffee.
Oh, my gosh. It is the best. Those are the best things. And I actually buy me a bag of them to eat once a year, and that's on Halloween. So looking forward tomorrow. Eating Heath bars all day. I'm going to take some into the office. It's going to be great. But anyway, now that we've had our poll for the night and we know what kind of candy Todd wants, malted milk balls, Tony wants traditional Mars stuff like Snickers, and I'll take Heath bars. So we're ready to go, and I'm going to turn the floor over to the one and only Tony Robinson.
All right. Well, speaking of Halloween, I want to talk about first the results from NXT Halloween Havoc. And the first match I want to talk about, is the ladder match for the vacant NXT North American Championship. Wesley versus Carmelo Hayes versus Oro Mesa versus Von Wagner versus Nathan Fraser. And this match was killer. Like, NXT, to me, in my opinion, NXT always puts the best ladder matches ever. And, you know, a lot of high flying, a lot of hard hitting, you know, bodies thrown everywhere. But at the end, Wesley picked up the win and is your new NXT North American Championship. And I'm very excited that he won this, because, you know, he no longer had his partner Nash Carter from MSK. So I think, like, he is really on a roll with his solo career right now. So a big congratulations to him. And the next match is Grayson Waller versus Apollo Crews in the Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal match. And they spun the wheel and they have fought in a casket match. Very classic casket match. And you know, during the match, like, Grayson Waller put Apollo through the casket, and he thought that he picked up the win, but he actually didn't win, because the only way to win is to put your opponent in the casket, not through the casket. And then during the match, the lights went down, and then out comes Apollo Crews with a new casket, and, you know, the match wasn't over, and at the end, Apollo Crews shut the casket on Grayson Waller and picked up the win. Oh, and I also forgot, too, like, so spin the wheel, make the deal is something that they have added for Halloween Havoc in NXT, where it's kind of like a Las Vegas roulette that they used to do on the main roster. So they decided, like, hey, why don't we have a spin the wheel, make the deal for Halloween Havoc and see what the stipulation is. And, of course, you know, the host for Halloween Havoc was Shotzi Blackheart, which I love her so much. So
tell us how you really feel, brother. That's so funny.
Yeah, I know. The next match is another spin the wheel, make the deal match, and it is a weapons wild match. Roxanne Perez versus Cora Jade. Two very young wrestlers with amazing, who are just amazing in the ring, and at a very young age. And the match was great, and Roxanne Perez picked up the win. And the next match is an ambulance match with Julius Creed versus Damon Kett. Another great match. Julius, like, Julius picked up the win here,
Julius Creed, Damon Kemp, the ambulance match.
Yeah, that was an amazing match. What'd you think of it?
Man, so you got to read up a little bit on some of the stuff. All I heard was, it was one of the ones that, it was a fan favorite from the show. And I think I'm digging, and I hope we don't forget, we got to talk about the whole Halloween Havoc theme, the history from WCW, if possible.
Absolutely. We can definitely do that after these
two
matches.
Tony and I
said this at the
meantime, absolutely. It was great. Okay.
Oh, really? Yeah. Because I'm, like, just, like, so glad that they actually brought some, like, classical WCW pay-per-views, because, like, they wanted to, because since, like, Dusty was a big part of NXT and he was a big part of WCW, they want to, like, continue his legacy by bringing those WCW pay-per-views to NXT to represent him. And I really think that they're doing amazing with that. So the next match is the NXT Women's Championship, Mandy Rose versus Alda Fry. So before this match, Alda actually invited Talk of the Attraction to a haunted house. And she was like, you know, we don't have to wait until the next match. We can fight right here in this haunted house. And, yeah, this whole thing, like, how it turned out really, like, came amazing. And for it to lead to Halloween Havoc is absolutely amazing. But at the end, Mandy Rose picked up the win and retaining. And the last match is a triple threat match for the NXT Championship. JD McDonagh versus Aja Dragunov versus Braun Breaker. And really amazing match, too. But Braun Breaker picked up the win here. Now, when you think of Halloween Havoc, you know, when you think of Braun Breaker, because, you know, like, Braun Breaker is the father of Rick Steiner and the nephew of Scott Steiner. And, you know, the Steiners are a really big part of WCW and, of course, like, Halloween Havoc as well. So, for first, I want to ask Todd, what is your, your most favorite memorable moment from, Halloween Havoc, any Halloween Havoc pay-per-view in the past?
Oh, see, now that becomes a different thing, because I don't know if I can tag one down. The, I think this is what, this is Todd's take, right? Remember, I'm the old school guy and I do things, you know, I'm pretty simple. I love how there were such long, beautiful feuds that would lead to the pay-per-views back then. Like, you always felt, you always walked into a pay-per-view hoping that some of these, this feud stuff would finally get settled, because it had been ongoing in various things. So there is always, always a story going into it. And there have been a number of times, and I know, I don't know that you can talk about a Halloween Havoc with, and this is just going to get Dr. John wound up, without mentioning Ric Flair, just saying. So,
yep.
Oh, Lord, so I already know I just gave up the mic by mentioning Ric Flair. But mm-hmm. that's what I'm thinking, Tony.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing about what I loved about the classic pay-per-views back in the day. Because, like every storyline is big leading up to any pay-per-view. And what they did this year for Halloween Havoc is what we all wanted to see. And now I want to ask John, what is your favorite Halloween Havoc moment from back in the day?
Okay, I'm going to have to pass on that one, because I hate to tell everybody this, but I'm driving back from New Bern and I'm on the highway and right now I can't think. But if you'll ask me that next week, I'll give you one. But somehow my brain power is limited to staying on the road in the rain and keeping the show on. But I've got a great
about safety first, dude. Nobody's going to get mad at you for safety first.
That's right.
Yeah,
but what
first.
I'll say is I'm going to pull off the road at 8 p.m. when we do our station break, because I've got an incredible Halloween mini feature for you guys, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, Tony, I'll pass on it this week, okay?
Hey, that's okay. You know, safety first. You know, you're driving. You definitely don't want you to get into no accident. You know, so keep driving. We'll
yeah, most stuff. Most stuff.
Just
goes
to show.
Oh, no worries. You do it safe. Keeping us posted. We'll stay on top of the station break and give you time to pull over. Remember, we have that time at the. On either
Absolutely.
Side of the top of the hour to allow us to do it. And we may, I don't know, Tony, what do you think? Maybe we had to hijack part of the second half of the show and tell Halloween stories, man.
Oh, man, that definitely reminded me, because, there was a top 10 video from WWE. So they just actually released the top 10 most scariest women in WWE. Luna Machado. And, she was actually number 2 on the list, which I was so mad about, because number 1 was Alexa Bliss. And I was thinking, how can you,
really?
Put Luna Vachon at number 2 and then Alexa Bliss at number 1? Come on, man. Luna Vachon number 1.
No kidding, because, she brought it when she did that kind of stuff. Oh, man, I think we got some storytelling for the second half. All right, Dia. Oh, heck. I want to make sure that we run through what we wanted to cover here on the first half of the show, what we were talking about in the green room, because I can see us, this is going to be a tangent night and have some fun, man. What do you think? So do we feel like we ran through Halloween Havoc adequately?
I mean, I don't know. It's Halloween Havoc, was, man. Oh, Wait a minute. But the
we covered the matches.
Yeah, we covered all the matches. So I do want to ask you, what did you think of Halloween Havoc this year?
Look, all I know is, again, I kind of had to do the reviews and stuff. You don't even want to know the way the last few weeks have been work-wise. So I've been singularly focused on earning a living, I guess. But everything I've read in the reviews, extremely high praise, top to bottom. Because what I'd like to do is I'd like to read, you get the people that are paid to write that will do the articles. I'd like to see the comments. And the majority of the comments were just basically people saying they were.
Yeah, absolutely. And while we're on the Halloween Havoc topic, I do have a list of the most top 10 Halloween Havoc matches. So at number 10, Boris Steven Regal versus David Boy Smith, Halloween Havoc, 1993.
Okay, I'll take that.
Absolutely.
At number
9.
At number 9, the Steiner Brothers versus the Nasty Boys, Halloween Havoc, 1990.
Man, what's more fitting than the Nasty Boys?
Oh,
was 30 years ago. Golly, 30 years ago, 32 man. Years ago.
Yes, go pile with your golly.
Yeah, because I remember the first time I watched the Nasty Boys, and, I was like, man, these guys are not only just amazing, but also nasty.
They had, when they got in the ring, they had no idea what civil being, they didn't have a civil bone in their body, for sure. All right, what'd you have for number 8, Tony? This is fun.
Yeah, so number 8, Goldberg versus Diamond Dallas Page, Halloween Havoc, 1998.
Oh, my God. What a classic match. Oh, my gosh. Anything with Diamond Dallas Page in it is great. It just is.
Yeah.
Dr. John, and that's my opinion. I mean, you're looking at elements of Ric Flair stardom there with Diamond Dallas Page. How's that, Todd?
I don't know. Well, he was one of those guys that what a great story himself for his own story. But that was one of those matches that old boy Goldberg, he had been given pretty much a run of things, and it was a learning experience for him. All right, just saying. All right, so what you got for number 7? It's getting good.
So number 7, Raquel Gonzalez versus Rhea Ripley, NXT Halloween Havoc 2020.
So the change in the eras. One has seen it, one no.
Don't know. I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Boy, that's a big generational change on that. Okay, so they're sticking with the title Halloween Havoc, no matter who the source was. Okay, good to go.
Yep. And so at number 6, Damian Priest versus Giant Gargano, also Halloween Havoc 2020.
All right, so both those names are fresh enough in my head that can't say didn't see it. I got nothing.
So, all right, number 5, Big Van Vader versus Cactus Jack, Halloween Havoc, 1993.
Okay.
Big Van Vader could kill somebody. That was a tough guy.
Fast for a size. Fast.
Exactly.
Dude could move.
All right. At number four, Doom versus, Don, you'll be excited for this. Doom versus the Four Horsemen, Halloween Havoc, 1990.
Uh-oh. My boy is in there. Rick West. That's great. I'm excited.
I like it. Any of the big, I'm a tag sucker for tag teams anyways. I just am.
All right. Number three, Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae, Halloween Havoc, also 2020.
Man. All right. This,
okay.
This is not helping the old guy. Man, the guy that can't remember what I had for breakfast today, but I can remember stuff from, well, we'll just say a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
I know. I can remember Davey Boy Smith matches. God, he was so good. He really was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like,
I mean, like him and Roddy Piper and that bunch, golly, they were incredible.
And, like, David Boy, I love David Boy, especially him versus Bret Hart at SummerSlam.
Man.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Legend match.
So, number two,
I'm gonna say,
Ray.
Well, hey, Tony, before you hit number two, I'm going to say something that might get me a little bit of heat. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe that generation with Davey Boy Smith, with Flair in his prime, with Roddy Piper, that whole bunch, I think the quality was there unlike it has been ever. I mean, that was in the day of Dusty Rhodes. That was in the day who's our boy? The Russian Bear, Ivan Koloff. Those guys were absolutely so good.
Paul Orndorff, a ton of them, man.
Oh, my God, Orndorff was really, I mean, those guys were tough, and they were great, and they brought so much to the ring. I'll just say I think that was the true golden age of wrestling. I'll turn it back over to Tony for number two, and I can't wait to hear number one.
All right, so number two, Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Dean Malenko, Halloween Havoc, 1996.
Oh, my God.
Incredible talent.
Yeah, you're talking about when they really wanted to do something with the light heavyweights. And, man, did they have a roster. Dean Malenko, good grief. Rey Mysterio Jr., mm-hmm. I mean, just he's his own legacy.
And I got to see his dad – Boris Malenko wrestled Dory Funk for the World Heavyweight Championship in Charlotte at the Old Charlotte Coliseum. I mean, that was one of the greatest matches still in my head that I have ever seen. It really was. I was like,
way to pull up the roster, Tony. This is fun, man.
Okay.
All right.
What's number one?
Man, tell me it's same from 2020.
Nope. So, number one, which is actually my personal favorite Halloween Havoc match, Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Eddie Guerrero, Halloween Havoc, 1997.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Rey Mysterio, those guys were just the most incredible. I mean, I'm glad we know Rey Mysterio Jr. through Amazing Velvet. I want to get him down here, I hope, one day, so that we can all meet him, because Velvet's got great stories about him. So, anyway, Tony, that was a great walk down memory lane. It really was.
Yeah, most definitely. Like, I say this is my personal favorite because I've always been a big Eddie Guerrero fan for many, many years. And
yeah, man.
To actually really, really rewatch this and see, like, him versus Rey, like, it's absolutely amazing because, like, him and Rey, like, had the most best rivalries of all time and the best matches.
And their chemistry in the ring, man.
Yeah, and their chemistry, because they worked with each other for so long. So, like, they're like brothers.
Oh, yeah, they knew each other real well. Yeah, you know, the styles and stuff.
And look at the year. We're talking about the golden age of wrestling. We're talking about two of the most accomplished men in the ring. I can't say the most, but, I mean, you know, when the roster is so deep at that point. And then you got at that same time, you got Smoky Mountain Wrestling just tearing it up with, you know, feeding that energy, feeding everything. So that was truly a golden age that we'll never get back, but we can still watch it. Thank you, YouTube.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
And all these other, there's a ton of other ones that are out there. Okay, we are, we're pushing where you got to be looking for a spot to pull over. We're 3 minutes and change short of the top of the hour, so be thinking about that. And while we're doing that, we'll let you tell us when you're pulled in. Let's start talking about Crown Jewels so we can tell some Halloween stuff on the end and just have some, like, people time on the tail end of this. You good with that, Tony?
Yeah, I'm good with that. So,
all right.
So this Saturday is Crown Jewels live Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, which would be on the other side of the world. So I know it's going to start maybe around noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Not sure, but I know it's probably going to be at work, so I can't watch it until I get home. So the first match is for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions, the Usos versus the Brawling Brutes. So I don't know. I'm having mixed decisions about this because, I can see the Brawling Brutes winning because they have been an unstoppable tag team, but at the same time, I feel like the Usos are going to retain. So,
Yeah, man.
If I had to choose, you can go either way, but I think the Usos are probably going to retain here. All right, the next match is the last women's standing match for the Raw Women's Championship, Bayley versus Bianca Belair. And just to remind everybody, Saudi Arabia does have a strict rule.
Attire rules.
Yeah, for females and how they're supposed to be covered up and everything. So they're not going to be in their regular gear. They're actually going to be in a full bodysuit. Like, they got to cover their whole body, cover everything.
Yep, that's the way it is. I'm surprised they haven't pushed back on it, but yeah. All right.
But
I'm seeing the main matches. I saw I kind of skipped the pre-matches. Go ahead.
But with this match, I know Damage Control is an unstoppable stable right now, and I know EO and Dakota are the tag champs. So I think Bayley's going to win here. The next match is Omos versus Braun Strowman. And this match, I'm actually very interested to see because these are like two huge men. So you have Braun at 6'8", and you have Omos at 7 foot. I'm like, man, these giants are classic.
Yeah, you're going to be talking needing a reinforced ring on this one.
Exactly. Let's just hope they don't break the ring.
Seriously, and none of the pseudo-drama ring-breaking stuff. All right. So I'm curious and wonder how this one's going to go over, the Drew McIntyre Karrion Kross steel cage match.
Oh, man. Like, I know, like, this rivalry has been, like, heated lately. And I know Karrion Kross won the last match, and I believe that they're going to put the win on Drew, because I think Drew needs, even though, like, Karrion Kross just came back and had already beaten Drew McIntyre, I think that Drew needs this win for this rivalry. All right, and the next match is Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. And, you know, Brock is now a heel again, but what I'm actually glad is that this is a non-title match. Like, they're finally having Brock wrestle without being a title match. Because every time
look, at least with the non-title match, we don't have to worry about the politics for the title.
Exactly. And the thing is that we're like so used to seeing Brock like wrestle in title matches, and just give the man a break. Like, he doesn't need a title to be the most greatest wrestler of all time. Because he
always about all that, but I mean this will be one I want to keep an eye on. Just saying. All right, hey, Dr. John, were you able to pull over yet?
I was able to arrive at my house.
All right. Well, we're going to use this because I think we got 3 matches left. We're just a couple few minutes after the top of the hour, so we're going to slide into station break. So, Dr. John,
okay.
The station break, please.
All right.
And you've
Thank
arrived
you.
Safely.
Banana Jack,
That's
in,
the big
Banana Jack
here.
In the morning, Banana
cheer.
Jack and Marshall Biddle in the afternoon. It's WLSC AM and FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and it's available on TigerRadio.com. And for those of you that love Halloween, I will be on there from 3 to 5 tomorrow, TigerRadio.com, with Banana Jack and with Marshall Biddle. We'll be talking about Halloween stories, all kinds of crazy stuff. So be sure to listen to us then, and I hope everyone continues to enjoy pro wrestling interviews tonight, our special Halloween show. And when you finish talking about Crown Jewels, that will let my phone switch to my router inside my house. And I have got a special Halloween feature for everybody. So I'll catch up with
All
you
right.
in 3 minutes. So.
All right, good to go. We're going to run through these matches in 3 minutes then. All right.
Well, luckily, there are actually 2 matches left. So the next match is a... Six,
go ahead.
So the next match is a 6-man tag team match.
Yes.
The OC, AJ Styles, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson versus The Judgment Day, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, and Dominic Mysterio with Rhea Ripley. I think, in my opinion, since I know Gallows and Anderson are bagging, which I'm really happy about, because a lot of people have been coming back ever since Triple H and Stephanie became in charge, and it's so great to see them back, and I would love for them to pick up their first ring on the pay-per-view. So I'm going with the OCs, you know, Bullet Club. You know, I'm a big Bullet Club guy.
All right. I'm seeing Judgment Day here. I like it. I like it. We're other sides of the coin. All right. What about Seth Rollins versus Mustafa Ali?
They haven't put that match on yet. I know.
I'm looking at MSN, just so you know. I'm looking MSN right now.
Now I see it. Yeah, Seth Rollins versus Mustafa Ali. Oh, man. I mean, I know Seth just won the title, so I don't really see them like taking the title off of him yet, so I think he's going to retain for that match.
Right.
And the last.
Go ahead.
The
I'm
last match. Oh, man, the last match. I don't know how this is going to go, but for the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul. Oh, my gosh. I honestly don't know how this match is going to go. Like, I'm thinking myself, okay, is Logan going to win and Roman finally loses, or is Roman, like, retaining? Like, is it going to be, like, a draw? Like, what? Like, what? Like, I just want to know, because, like, this match
I'm
came out of nowhere.
After this. I'm almost glad Steve ain't here because I figured he could talk about this match for the whole show. Right?
Right.
He could. I could see him. The scenarios you just laid out, I could see him run down each one of those and just wear us out, man, because – and it would be absolutely accurate because this – oh, I think there's something on here with odds. Hold on. Logan Paul is the underdog for odds.
Anyway, so when you think of Logan Paul, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, like, he is undefeated in boxing. And, yeah, like, he is still undefeated in WWE. And,
yep.
Like, because what I'm trying to think is, like, okay, so cause they did the same thing with Ronda Rousey when she came. Like, she just came to WWE, and she
Look at you. Oh, and it's almost like I said Beetlejuice too many times. He just – Steve just texted me. Okay. Steve's actually lurking and listening. We love you, brother. He blew me up in the text. It's exactly like Beetlejuice. The he actually has less input on this one than I thought he would, and he's consistent with the Logan Paul being the underdog. So good to go, good to go. It's like saying Beetlejuice too many times. I love it.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Good to go. Good to go. All right, Tony, closing on this so we can get to Dr. John, brother.
All right, well, in closing, like, I just think that I don't care who wins because, like, it can go either way.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one, too, and I like the angle about how they pulled in Ronda Rousey, so that I like that. I like it. I like the way you think. Good to go. All right, Dr. John, you wanted to run through your stuff, but you got to save everybody time to talk some smack on Halloween.
I do, and I think we have Stellar Steven on the line, don't we?
Yeah, and a lot of background noise, too, on my end, so that's why I'm muted.
That's all right. Well, we're glad to have you, Steve. All right. I wanted to do my small Halloween feature. It happened in April of 1980. It's reminiscent of Dracula, and it is one of the greatest wrestling matches in history, and it's related, again, to Halloween. Who knows what the match was and who was in it? Anybody, any takers for that one?
Oh, man.
No,
can I think of that?
In April of 1980, two men squared off in the first coffin match. And it was full of surprises.
Dusty Rhodes,
and
Byron Koloff.
That's exactly right. And I got a story about, okay, first of all, absolutely two of the greats of all time. I got a great story about Ivan Koloff because I was fortunate enough to get to meet him before he passed away. I was talking to Maestro, and I said, you know, I got a promoter that's going to be running a Comic-Con in Sumter, and he wants a professional wrestler. And Stroh said, well, I'm doing something else that day. I said, well, see if you can get me another wrestler. And I figured he'd get one of his students or something like that. He said, okay, I'll give you a call back 15, 20 minutes. So he calls me back in 5 minutes. He said, okay, here's a phone number. And so he gave me a phone number. I said, okay, great. Who is it? He said, it's Ivan Koloff. I said, don't jerk me around. This is a friend of mine who's the promoter. No, who have you got for me? He said, it's Uncle Ivan. Ivan Koloff wants to come. I said, okay, great. I'm going to hang up. I'm going to call this number. I'll see if this is Ivan Koloff. I dialed that number. Hello? I said, is this Ivan? Yes, this is Ivan Koloff. And, oh, my God, it was, I mean, don't you know that I talked to him for 2 hours? It was two of the greatest hours of my wrestling life was to get to know the Russian bear, Ivan Koloff. What a gentleman. What a scholar. What an incredible athlete and an incredible wrestler. He was all of the above. And he, along with one of my buddies, who, believe it or not, and I'll say this on the air, I got to go drinking with him, Dusty Rhodes. So, I mean, I've had part of my billion-dollar life to go drinking with Dusty Rhodes and watch him drink 8 beers and say, excuse me, getting a little tight around here, I'll be back. 8 beers before you had to be excused. And then Ivan Koloff, to call him, and I called Ivan frequently, and he loved it that I called him. I mean, I don't know why, but maybe a lot of folks toward the end of his life didn't pay him as much attention as they should have. That man knew so much about wrestling, it was incredible. And I even had him, and I'm pleased to say, at Cape Fear Comic Con, he came down there with his wife, he was there, and just one of the great men of wrestling. So there is my top-of-the-hour wrestling moment, the great casket match from April of 1980, and I think there have been so far about 35 coffin matches, but none quite as good as that. It was certain that Ivan Koloff was going to win, but Dusty Rhodes closed the coffin on Ivan Koloff in a surprising turn of events at the end of the match. So anyway, great history, two of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Thanks to you guys, wherever you are up in that great wrestling coliseum in the sky, thanks for everything that you did. And I think one thing that everybody who ever wrestled Dusty Rhodes or Ivan Koloff said is they said it didn't matter who they wrestled. They made, if they were even a beginner pro, they made them look like a champ. And that's why those guys were so popular among wrestlers and fans. I mean, they loved to hate Ivan Koloff, and they loved to love Dusty Rhodes, but they were the best. And I want to say thank you guys for gracing our incredible sport here with that coffin match, with your abilities and all the great moments that you provided us. So I'm going to turn it back over. Steve's just here. So, Steve, what you got for us tonight?
No, I just wanted to follow up on the list earlier. Yeah, I'd say Regal, David Boy is one of my favorites. Halloween Havoc matches. And then Eddie versus Ray, 97, obviously, is a big fan favorite. Lots of aerial acrobatics in that match. And it's surprising that Ray could still do the rope flip DDT years later. Still going after decades of action there. And then just recently, this morning actually, Pro Wrestling NOAH is kind of trending from Japan. Great Muda having one of his last matches with Shinsuke Nakamura on January 1st of next year. So that should be pretty good in Budokan. So I'm definitely looking forward to that one. And if anybody doesn't know, you can find that on the Wrestling Universe. That's the streaming service that Pro Wrestling NOAH is on, and several other wrestling promotions from Japan. So check out Wrestling Universe, and I'll be looking forward to Great Muda's last matches coming up.
Nice. Yeah, I mean,
thank you, Steve. That was great.
Yeah, like,
it's big news because Shinsuke Nakamura is currently with WWE, and they usually don't do these cross promotion matches very often. So that's why it's a big deal right now.
Well, that's great. Absolutely. Well, thanks a lot for that one. All right, now, Todd, you were going to lead us in some stories here, and we're going to do it in the last 15 minutes. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you because that was your great idea.
Yeah, I got two stories from this year, and I think one is a parent, one of my favorite Halloween the Kids stories. So I'm going to try to run through them fairly quick. Y'all know how I do my closing, take care of yourself, take care of your family, take care of one another. Sometimes those little things that you do for other people make a big difference. I got two workmates. One is a unicorn junkie. And I happened to just, you know, I was doing a stroll through one of the grocery stores, and I was in a store I seldom frequent. And they, end of September, they had their dadgum Halloween stuff up. I was walking by, and I saw this tiny little, and I think it was only like $5 or so, maybe a little more than five, a little tiny skeleton unicorn. I was like, I know who would love this. I saw it, made me think of the person because I know how they are about unicorns, and they love their Halloween. Picked it up, dropped it on their desk. That person has it displayed in their work center in a professional business area because they just love the thing. So in another Halloween store, saw a mini classic style witch's broom. And when I say mini, maybe 2.5 feet or whatever, and dropped it off on the person's desk because I knew they would just get a kick out of it. And I got a text right away. They had no doubt who dropped it off. They were like, thank you for returning my car. You didn't have to leave it on my desk. And they got it displayed, hanging on the side of their cube, saying, which parking only. And they've been in a good mood for 3 weeks. Sometimes doing those little things is a big deal. That and the best Halloween costumes ever. My daughter was about 5, maybe 6 years old. Six, I'm guessing. She wanted to go, and I know this is an archaic reference, is King Arthur from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. My son was in high school. He was done with his trick-or-treating stuff. And he was like, Dad, find me the knave costume and the coconut, and I will go with her. And sure enough, my daughter going as King Arthur, she had a little knight outfit on. And the daughter of the knight outfit and the son got him the knave outfit and the doggone coconuts, and he was perfectly happy to be part of her costume.
These black knights around.
For those that have me on Facebook, it's actually, y'all see the image of it.
That's right. That's, Todd, that is your picture. That's your big background picture on Facebook, isn't it?
It is.
Everybody go
it
check
is.
Out Todd Sasson on Facebook.
The sure enough, of course, it just tells you how warped my kids are that they're influenced by Monty Python. All right. Just want to turn those over. But, yeah, do those little things, you know, those little things you do for people. You can make their day. It don't take a whole lot. Just saying. All right. Steve, what you got, brother? Halloween thoughts.
All right, just not much. I didn't check out Halloween Havoc 2022, but I heard, I'm sure Shotzi was great as a host. And just glad I can call in. I have to work tonight. That's why the no communication earlier. But it's not much going on. Just have to work, unfortunately. But I was watching Halloween Ends, actually, that movie. Like, they're, like, building it as, like, the last Michael Myers movie. Not good. It was, like, disappointing to a lot of Halloween fans. The other two movies that they came out with focused more on Laurie, and this one had Laurie in it, but they focused on newer character, but they were kind of turned into, like, a Michael Myers Jr. light, and
it was just kind of like disappointing, like how they were focusing more on new characters and then didn't have enough Michael kills. There was one cool kill later into the movie with like a DJ. That was kind of a cool scene, but I won't go into detail. But yeah, it was,
yeah. This is Dr. John. This is Dr. John. I'm going to go watch that movie tomorrow night, so don't tell anymore, okay?
Yeah, it's on Peacock. It's mixed reaction, I'll just say that.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
Oh, and yeah, this is Tony. Speaking of Halloween shows and movies, yeah, I just saw Liv Morgan as a guest on the Chucky series, and yeah, like, and I was really excited about that because not only, but of course, you know, I love Liv Morgan, but you know, but I am the biggest fan of Chucky. Like, Chucky was the first horror movie that I've ever watched ever, and yeah, like, I mean, what are your guys' like favorite like horror movies?
Okay,
oh, man,
Dr. John,
this
is Dr. John, and I'm going to jump in right now because I've now got two with the same title. Dracula 1931, and the new Dracula on Netflix is absolutely terrifying. And I heard Stephen King likes it, and I saw about half of it, and then I was just too tired last night. But that Dracula on Netflix is terrifying. And they did a great job, and it's fun, and I can't wait to see the rest of it. So I'm gonna have to do that. So Dracula, 1931 and 2022.
Nice.
And yes, I avoided Christopher Lee. I'm sorry, he was great, but I'll tell you what, this one was incredible. I mean, it was as good as the Lugosi thing, but it was really scary. I mean, it takes a lot to scare me, you know, but it was scary. I was kind of glad I got tired. All right, next.
Yeah, what about you, Todd? Any favorite Halloween or horror movies?
I'm an old school guy. You guys know that. Like any of the old classic Frankenstein. Karloff as a mummy, those kinds of things. There are a few things that have happened. Now, something I am a sucker for is the old, came out in the 70s. Linda Black played and featured in all the shorts. It was a series of three shorts in one longer, like, made-for-TV thing. The Trilogy of Terror. That and the old Gargoyles movie that was filmed out there, generically the Mojave Desert type area. And, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I like, that old stuff that scared the bejesus out of me when I was a kid.
I'll never forget when Gargoyles came out. I think I was in high school. Every kid and their parents were there for that, and everybody was frightened. The parents were frightened, the kids were frightened. It was a priceless, priceless moment in my hometown. Yeah.
Yep. And I do like, if I were to fall back on a classic, like, family Halloween movie, we'd like Signs.
Signs?
Yes.
This is Dr. John. I might be my last horror movie plug.
John.
But The Sixth Sense is just incredible. M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. What about
Sixth
you,
Sense?
Steven?
Sixth Sense and Signs were freaking me years ago, for sure. And
it's interesting rewatching Sixth Sense when you know the context of the whole plot. So I'll just say that. But since we're talking Halloween movies in generally, Donnie Darko is really good. It's not really like a horror, more of a thriller, but a lot of the – there was like a countdown in the plot and very ambiguous ending. There's like a timeline plot, and it does revolve around Halloween a bit. So I would say Halloween movies in general that aren't, you know, just Michael Myers, Donnie Darko is a good one. You can watch that with, you know. And it was interesting given that I think it may have came out in 2001 too, and there's like a plane involved in the movie. So, yeah, it's pretty weird but good Halloween movie. And then horror movies in general, Shining is probably one of my favorites. Like, that really freaked me out when I was young. Like, they had a miniseries, and like, watching the miniseries now is comical, but like, when you're younger, it's like, oh, I don't know what this is. Like, I don't know about the movie or the book. You just kind of stumble upon it. The bathroom lady, like, that's just super freaky.
I just posted something in group chat targeting Tony, just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had another one.
Okay, great. And this is Dr.
But
John.
No, those are good. That's good flicks. I haven't seen Johnny Darko, so I should see it.
Yeah, Donnie Darko, yeah, it's really good. It's kind of a dark thriller-type movie, and Halloween is involved in, later into it. And then Jake Gyllenhaal is one of my favorite actors, and he's been in some really good thrillers, psychological movies after. Speaking of Chucky, since Tony mentioned it earlier. I'm sure Tony saw Liv Morgan was on the Chucky series recently. She got her like long-awaited kill scene that she wanted. She put that out there. She wanted to be in a Chucky death scene, and she finally got that recently on the USA Network. I saw the pictures
that's
of
that's
it.
That's great. All right, this is Dr. John. Tony, we got to get your pick for Halloween movies, and then we got to sign off and head on into the sunset for next week. So, Tony, what are your picks for Halloween movies?
So, for Halloween movies, like, of course, Chucky, but also, you know, The Cauldron, Scream. I know Annabelle was really good. Actually, the second on board movie I saw was The Boogeyman, which is also good. And
well,
actually, an old theater.
Tony, I'm going to stop you, and I'm going to say the Boogeyman is great. He's up in Virginia, and he's 82 years old now. Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valley.
Ah.
What a great guy. Okay, I'm sorry I had to do that to you. No, keep going, okay?
It's okay, but last thing I want to say, because I know we're about to close in a minute, but I know an old theater, actually, right here in Richmond, downtown, they were doing a movie screen of The Terror, like Terror 2, actually. And I know The Terror is one of the most scariest movies you can think of.
Are you talking about Terrifier or Terror?
Yeah, Terrifier.
I saw Terrifier, the first one, online, and yeah, it was pretty freaky. And it is, I would consider it a Halloween movie, not just a horror movie. And they came out with a sequel, and I've heard it's more intense than the first one, so I'm going to have to check that out. And Terrifier, it's a bit newer. I think it came out years ago, but in 2016, yeah. I'd highly recommend, if you don't mind gore and a creepy clown, you like Terrifier, and I might have to check out the sequel. It is really it's a big influence on the horror scene in the last recent years, so check out Terrifier,
right.
Terrifier 2.
All right, Well, guys, this is Dr. John saying we're done for tonight. It was a great Halloween episode. We'll see everybody next week. We got Todd, we got Tony, we got Steve, and we got everybody listening. And again, say happy Halloween to Amazing Velvet, and we'll see you next week, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the one, the only pro wrestling interviews. Say good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Happy Halloween.